Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Financial Translator, where we discuss financial topics in layman's terms to move you from confusion to confidence on a given topic. I am your host, Kirk Krekemeyer, the Principal Advisor at Pebble Valley Wealth Management. We are a fee-only financial advisory firm helping our clients make informed decisions on their road toward financial security. You can find more information at pvwealthmgt.com. On today's show, I'm going to provide a market update with returns through the end of November. In summary, they are up. I also provide this monthly market update as a blog post, which includes graphs I'll reference as well, including if regular readers, you'll notice those new graphs that I started last month, new tool we're using that includes total returns now for everything. The general format that I'll use is the same. I'm going to talk about the major market asset classes, any noteworthy moves, again, all up for November, update on the treasury market and interest rates, also going to touch upon bond spreads this month, comment on the Federal Reserve, and special topics. I'm going to repeat last month's couple topics that are important, year-end tax planning and I-bonds. As a brief legal disclaimer, my discussions here should not be construed as financial or investment advice, and each person's situation is unique. All right, let's go. So looking at the table at the top of the blog post, and I'll highlight some key points here for the podcast listeners. Again, month of November is up. Everything was up. The only red thing I see here is commodities were down 2.25% for the month. Otherwise, if you're looking for a nice, fast summary, in general terms, I would say equities are up 10% for the month alone. Bonds, when I say bonds, I mean the corporate bond indices, up about 5%. And again, I mentioned the commodities being down too. The other surprising thing, REITs. So looking at the table, the largest return for the month, REITs, real estate investment trusts, which are commercial real estate, which is fundamentals are very, very bad these days. Interest rates in general higher and a challenging marketplace for some sectors. But those are the highest returning ones. You know, so 10.75% in general. So again, definitely summarizes or captures the risk-on mode of November. So smoking. And it also lets you know, too, the when I'm going to lead now over to the graph that's on my blog post, that captures, let me slide my graph here. Here we go. That captures the major asset classes as well, but it shows you how they've done throughout the year. So you can see, again, this reminds me, this month of November reminds me a lot of July of this past summer where things just exploded to the upside and things were red hot. So the graph lets you see how the major asset classes have done throughout the month. So you'll see on the graph, end of October or toward the end of October, things were starting to trend downward after the September FOMC meeting. I'll talk about that in a second. But asset classes were trending downward, and then all of a sudden, end of October, things just reversed drastically and everything to the upside, again, with the exception of those commodities. So now on a year-to-date return basis, total returns, these are S&P around 20%, international developed markets, the IFA, Europe, Australia, Far East, for those using those at home, that's up about 12%. And then the next pack kind of jumped down to the 5% zone. Small U.S. small caps and emerging markets around that 5 and 4%. So there's one thing to notice too, I guess, within equity asset classes. Usually, within the U.S. equities, large and small, there's going to be some dispersions, but they move together. Quite a bit of dispersion so far. We got, U.S. equity large up 20, U.S. small up 5. Same thing on the international side. In general, we'll move together, but quite a difference again this year. Developed markets up 12, emerging markets up 4 or 5. They're the 5, up 5%. Sorry, so the small caps would have been up 4. So that's what a quick summary of the major U.S. Major asset classes. Again, just looking at these monthly returns so strong, and the graph you'll see on the blog post. You don't underestimate the power of momentum. Sometimes the answer why the markets are up is just a lot more buyers and sellers. And this month, I guess it would be a whole lot more buyers than sellers this month. Jumping over to the next section, I talk about interest rates. Last month, you may recall, I was talking about interest rates drifting higher, and especially in the long end. So It wasn't necessarily that inflation was running hot. It was just that the bond vigilantes were saying, hey, we have a lot of debt coming in the U.S. We got to pay for this somehow. We're going to raise demand higher rates to take down all of this debt that's being issued. So that was a story toward the end of October. Rates were marching higher, especially in the long end. And then all of a sudden, November 1st happened. So just quickly, November 1st, the two major things happened that day. One was the latest FOMC meeting, which in general, I didn't think they were as dovish as the market perceived them. But, you know, I'm just one person of many. So the market overall perceived it as very, very dovish. And the market's interest rates started going down, bond prices going up. Also that day, there was the Treasury, U.S. Treasury. Every quarter, they announce their quarterly auction, you know, how they're going to fund the large deficits that we have right now. And after the July announcement, it was a much higher amount than the market was expecting and a lot more longer-term bonds than the market was expecting. So this time around, people were watching it to see how much they were going to need and then what type. And they definitely, there's been some articles in the journal about this. The Treasury shifted around the amount of bonds they issue, meaning fewer of them, and more shorter-term Treasury bills. And so the market liked that. They didn't expect as much or wouldn't be expecting as much new issue in the long end. And so that helped interest rates drop quite a bit as well. And then I guess the last piece, again, not November 1st, but since then, November 12th and 13th, where the CPI numbers come out, and then end of November here, the PCE, the Fed's preferred personal consumption expenditure index for inflation, they came in line, you know, tamer. You know, the trend is going down inflation rate, so that's good. But again, it's still quite positive and still quite far away from the Fed's 2% target. So let's make sure we keep that in mind. But nonetheless, the market currently liked this a lot. So interest rates were down about 0.5% in the long end, which is a pretty big move for interest rates. What else? Oh, the other thing too. So yes, down quite a bit, but looking at the graph, this just gets us back to call it mid-September levels. And so sometimes just like with equities, when there's a strong rip up and then, you know, if they do pull back down, it's like, oh my gosh, the markets are down 5%, 7%. It's like, well, don't forget the melt up higher sometimes before the melt down comes. And so keep that in mind. Same thing happened with rates over the last 2 months here. And then as a friendly reminder, again, I mentioned the bond vigilantes with the long end rates. Let's not forget, too, the Federal Reserve balance sheet continues to roll off $95 billion per month. So it's 60 billion treasuries and 35 billion or 30, but in total 95 billion. So the 30 to 35 billion mortgage-backed securities. So that supply continues to hit the market. The Fed is unloading it off their balance sheet, which means investors and investors, period, have to purchase it, have to take it down. So again, higher supply, lower prices, higher yields, but that was not the case this past month, but let's keep that in mind, what's going on behind the scenes. The other thing normally don't mention directly, but this time I'm going to this month, and I include a graph on my blog post, and that is bond spreads. And so at the start of this podcast, I was mentioning, you know, in general, bonds are up 5%. You know, looking at 0.5% interest rate move and doing my quick bond math with duration that I know and love, and everyone should know and love it as well. I was like, huh, that seems like a pretty strong returns just looking at Treasury rate moves. And so I took a little look at the corporate spreads as well. So when you buy a Treasury bond, you get a yield, and that compensates you for the interest rate risk that you're taking, whatever duration you take. There is no very little to no risk that the U.S. government won't pay you back. However, if you buy corporate bonds, you get a yield as well, but it's always higher than what you get in the Treasury market. And the reason for that extra yield you get by buying corporate bonds or bond funds is what I recommend, is to compensate you for credit risk. They may not pay you back. So those are called credit spreads, the difference between those two. So looking at that, and there's a graph, I got triple, there's investment grade ratings, so higher quality ratings, AAA is the highest quality. Down to BBB is still considered an investment grade. And then BB and single B is below investment grade, also known as high yield bonds. So the graph on my blog post, I show the BBBs, so the lowest end of the investment grade, and then the BB and single B. And you can see one, I did it back all the way back to the year 2000 to show kind of in context. You know, we're at very, very tight spreads here. So this is kind of telling you that, or the credit spreads are telling you anyway that nothing to worry about. You know, everything's good here. Let's keep moving. Nothing to look at. Credit spread's very tight. So and then they also moved down quite a bit this past month. So that also added to the returns of the bond funds. So something to keep in mind. It's not something that's easily to reference as a retail consumer, but bond spreads or the extra yield you're getting very, very tight. So the strategy in this conventional wisdom would say go up in quality, meaning, you know what, if you're going to own bonds, let's not own too much of the high yield stuff because you're not getting paid as much, historically speaking, for potential risks. So that's my deeper dive and probably more deep than you wanted to go, but so let's pull back. Back to the usual format here, and let's talk about the Federal Reserve. So the Federal Reserve had their meeting on November the 1st was the last one. Last month's blog post and podcast, I briefly commented on it. So no change in rates. And the press release or the press conference afterward, I'm sorry, Fed Chair Powell always has a press conference, asks a bunch of questions. And I thought he was consistent and kept saying the same thing that he always has been, but the market definitely perceived it as a very dovish, dovish FOMC meeting. I thought over interpretation of that, but again, my view, not the markets. So the market definitely, you know, is saying, hey, the not only is the Fed done, but they're going to start cutting rates soon. Again, recall we've seen this movie before about six or seven times. I think this is the seventh time over the course of the the Fed hiking cycle here since March of 21 or 22. Let me go back to my other graph. Time is a flying. March of 2022. Wow, yeah, so it's only been a year and a year and a half. So about this is the seventh time where the market's kind of saying, hey, the Fed might be done. Let's lower rates. So we'll see what happens. We'll see. But the Fed had their meeting, kept rates flat, and that kept saying we're going to wait to see what the data has. They definitely keep reiterating, though, very strongly, their target is 2% inflation. So they're not backing away from that. So, again, the good news is inflation is trending in that direction. It's coming down. That's good. But it's still at like 3.5%, and the Fed's target is 2%. So let's keep that in mind as we're looking at cuts coming soon, and et cetera, and let's see what happens. The next FOMC meeting is December 13th. This is one of the four meetings where the Federal Reserve is going to release their summary of economic projections. So it'll be very interesting to see if they back off. You may recall the September SEP economic projections surprised the market in the sense that the projection or expectations by year end 2024, the Fed expected rates to be quite a bit higher than the market. That's what caused the rates to start flying up higher in September. So we will see if they modify that, the dot plot, it's called, and other key economic projections come the December 13th meeting. The other interesting thing, again, reference my blog post, but there's an amazing free tool on the CME Group website. It's called the CME FedWatch tool, and it uses actively traded Fed funds futures contracts, and you can back out the implied probability of future rate increases or decreases. Again, it's not an exact science, but it lets you know the sentiment of the market. So I thought it was very interesting. So the Fed, Powell came out with a speech, call it a week ago or something, saying that he thinks the market may be getting ahead of themselves on these potential rate cuts. But again, the market said, screw you, and they just kept on bidding up prices, driving down yield. So we will see. Right now, the March, there's a pretty good chance, at least a greater than a 50% chance of at least one rate cut by the March meeting. So, you know, we've got this one in December 13th, and then one in late January, and then March. So two more meetings after this, the market is saying, hey, there's a 50% chance that they're going to make at least one cut. And then if I the graph on my blog post, I went out to June of 24, mid-year, and there is only a 3% chance. Again, this is pricing as of, I think it was 2 days ago, yesterday. So CME snapshot as of 12/4, which means pricing through December 3rd, which I guess would have been the Friday, previous Friday. But nonetheless, pretty much only a 3% chance that they don't cut rates, that they hold them steady. So pretty much the market is saying with almost certainty that by mid-year, there will be at least one cut and likely a higher probability that there's going to be two or more cuts. So that's pretty high in my opinion, but we'll see. And Powell thinks that's maybe a bit overdone as well, but the market is the market. And then finally, I guess my special topics this month, it's just a quick recap or re-highlighting last month's two topics. And that is one, just a reminder, make sure you're doing your year-end tax planning. You only got, I guess, recording this on December 5th. So any RMDs, required distributions from IRAs, make sure you get them done before the end of the year. For those that have 401ks, if you're not employed and you have a 401k, you have to take those out of those, each of those separately. So make sure if you didn't roll those over to an IRA, make sure you take care of those as well. If you are actively employed, you don't have to, but if you do retire, even on December 31st of this year, technically, you're supposed to take your distribution same year that you stop working. A nice little tax planning technique. If you are doing IRAs, you can't do this from 401ks, but IRAs, you can do charitable contributions from there. Again, time is tight, but it's a little bit of time. Charitable, most people have high standard deductions these days, but you making use of a donor advised fund can be interesting. Partial Roth conversions, again, it gets complicated. Look at a lot of tax, current tax bracket versus projected. Make sure you watch IRMA, those Medicare premium trigger levels and other things, but possibly doing some Roth conversions. For those with young children or older children, but still college expenses ahead of you, if your state allows a tax deduction for contributions, not at the federal level, but some states do, Illinois does, up to $20,000 for joint filers, that's got to be get put in by 12/31. If you're bringing transfers in, hopefully the paperwork has been submitted by now or tight on time. What else? Tax loss harvesting. Again, in my opinion, you should be doing that all year long. It's not just a year-end activity. This is a good example where the market has just been ripping. So it's like, hey, it's December. Let's tax loss harvest. Well, chances are there's not much there right now. But if you would have looked at it, say, in early October or earlier in the year as well. So it's a year-round activity. But you know, take a look. Bond funds. If you haven't looked at your bond funds in a while, there's some harvesting opportunities there. And then what else? Oh, and then just as a reminder, yes, for those who have individual, you know, the IRAs and HSAs for 23 contributions, technically you can make those up through next spring tax filing. So that is not a hard stop this year, but obviously those people who are contributing stuff through payroll, like 401ks, and even if you're a like myself, small business, S-Corp, any of my 401k contributions, I've got to get run through my payroll system before year end. The second topic, special topic, is the I-bonds. Just as a quick reminder, they reset them every May 1 and November 1. So the November 1 reset was at 5.27, pretty high rate. Again, I view these I-bonds as nice reserve funds. I don't view them as a necessary an investment necessarily. Anyway, 5.27 was the rate, but the interesting part is that it had a 1.3% fixed rate component. So that's good. And the strategy is just briefly, if you have some old I-bonds that you purchased, they have a 0% fixed rate. So one strategy is to cash them in if you had them at least 12 months. Yes, you lose the last 3 months' interest, but you can also start to pick up this this 1.3 fixed for life. So if you haven't done anything for 2023 and you got some old I-bonds, maybe consider cashing them in and buying new ones. If you haven't done them before, just go ahead and add them. And I would definitely go ahead. If you got the funds and had the need for a reserve fund, I'd go ahead and hit them again in January 24 because these rates will still be applying through April 30th of 2024. So probably a bit deeper dive on my two special topics, but there you have it. Read the web blog post. So just in summary, month of November, everything was up. It's risk on. Let's go. So again, be careful. A lot of momentum there, but that's what happened. Rates backed off substantially after those mid-September run higher. But again, let's watch. We got the FOMC meeting coming up, and underlying fundamentals are still an issue. The market is saying that the Fed is not only done, but they're going to start cutting rates quite substantially by mid the year. Powell says maybe slow down. So let's see what they say at the December meeting. And for year end planning, you know, make sure you look at those tax planning strategies and taking a look at I bonds if you haven't in a while. All right. Let's see. December is here. So I know maybe the first few weeks of this month be as exciting as the last half. So keep it all in context and enjoy your month of December. All right. That's a wrap on today's topic. Thanks a lot. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Financial Translator. I hope this discussion helped clear up any confusion and will lead to more confident financial decisions. Thanks for your time, and be sure to check out all of our resources at pvwealthmgt.com. Until next time, go confidently.